Welcome to the Slapshot Scotland podcast. I'm Craig Anderson. In this edition, I'm joined by a man who played and coached in the Elite League for 7 years, starting with Edinburgh Capitals, where he coached for 3 of those years, before being enticed to take on the same role with Belfast Giants, with whom he won the league title in 2012. He left Northern Ireland for Sheffield Steelers in 2013, but was dismissed in February 2014 before seeing out the season as bench coach to Jeff Hutchins at Dundee Stars. As well as that, my guest served as assistant coach for the Great Britain men's team for 2 years, before taking the job on himself in 2014. Nowadays, he's the Director of Player Development and Recruitment at the USHL, a role that we'll hear more about. Giving us his thoughts now is, of course, Doug Christiansen. Hi, Doug. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us on the Slapshot Scotland podcast. First question, you've had a year away from life in the Elite League as an outside observer. What did you make of how things progressed last year?
I mean, obviously, it was a tough year watching it from afar. A lot of good friends were either still coaching there or playing in the game, former players of mine, so keeping an eye on that was great. It looked as though it was a close playoff race or league race the whole way. And you know what? It turned out that a lot of the guys that we had in Sheffield were able to do really well, and so it was great to see them have success. Obviously watching from afar, it's something where you wish you were still there and could watch the playoff final. It sounded like that was another great game. So it seemed like there was good hockey, and it was good to see Todd Kelman doing so well in Cardiff.
Now, we're going to touch on Todd in just a couple of minutes here, but I want to ask you about Sheffield Steelers. They won the league, as you said there, but they dispensed with the services of Gerard Adams not long after. Now, when you bring into consideration the circumstances of your own departure, how much sympathy did you have for G, and did it surprise you that they let him go?
You know, when you get into coaching, you accept the fact that if you have success, that you're going to be rewarded for it. And you also accept the fact that when you don't have success, bad things happen. And when you have that as kind of your bylaws of how you expect to be treated, if you win a championship, you expect that's going to be enough. You don't know what happened behind the scenes, much like people didn't know what was happening behind the scenes. But I can tell you that it is a tough spot for Gerard Adams to get fired. I had a second place hockey team. We put together a 2-year plan to win a championship. And I think obviously it was disappointing to be let go when I was. That being said, very happy with the fact that I was, because it opened up a lot of great opportunities. And especially now seeing some of the things that have happened since I left, it was probably the best thing for everybody.
Now, you mentioned Todd Kelman there. He took over Cardiff Devils last year and has helped transform them from a team that missed the playoffs to title contenders and, of course, the Challenge Cup winners as well. How pleased are you at the success he's had there in such a short space of time?
I'm not surprised. Cardiff has great fans, great city. Todd's not a stupid guy. He's a very bright guy. And I think he took Cardiff over at the right time. Cardiff had been just an absolute force in the league for a number of years, and had arguably the best home ice advantage in the league. And for that to be the foundation from which Todd could come in, obviously I think that Andrew Lord's done a really good job as a player coach, which is a very tough job, especially in a bigger market team. And now I think they can really hit the ground running. But I'm not surprised at all. I'm happy for Todd. He's a really bright guy, works hard, and for the Cardiff Devil fans, I think the future is very bright.
Now, when you look back on last season and the trophies that were available, 5 of the teams won each of the trophies that were available. Were you, when you look back on that, were you surprised at how tight the league was last year when you could take that into consideration?
No. I mean, I think that dividing the league into two parts is very helpful in terms of generating more fan interest. I was fortunate enough to be involved and to watch us win a conference championship in Belfast. And, of course, Dundee won a conference championship. And so you see teams and you see coaching staffs and communities rally around those different opportunities, those different championships, I think that that's great, because I think that that obviously gives more fans in the seat, more fans in the seats creates additional revenue. Additional revenue means better players in the league. I think that the strength of the pound to the euro obviously brings in more players from North America that are going to be a little bit better. And I think that that will help to balance it out. So I think that for the league, I think that's a very good thing. I think the fact that there's a draw of hockey in Europe from a recruiting point of view is helpful. And so I think that the championships being spread out is a good thing. I think that the parity for teams trying to win an opportunity to win a championship is also fantastic.
Now, you mentioned Dundee Stars there. You went behind the bench for them that year. They won the Gardner Conference and finished third place in the league. A great season it was for Jeff and all the guys involved there. Was there a chance for you to stay on last year? Was there a chance for you to return there? Did that ever come up?
We never even talked about it. It wasn't going to be a situation that was going to work for me. I think, you know, when I left Great Britain and the national team, the decision was to return to the United States. And I really liked Dundee. I think that Dundee in many ways reminds me of Belfast, just on a smaller scale, where they do things the right way. They treat their players very well. They obviously have success, you know, retaining their players for the most part. I thought Swindlerhurst leaving for North America, quite frankly, was the biggest loss in the Elite League. And, you know, him coming back later in the year really changed the way that that team was constructed. And obviously the team started off a little bit slow, and I think that that's a big part of it.
And of course, you were the GB national coach as well. Pete Russell now fills that mantle. You worked with him. He was your assistant in the year you were in charge. It took them close to winning the gold medal a couple of months back. Did you have any say in Pete's appointment? And how pleased are you for him at the success he's had in the job so far?
I'm fairly sure they didn't want my opinion. but, you know, quite frankly, it was great to see Pete have success. I was just really disappointed for the guys. You know, you get to that stage where you got one game left, and you know that was our goal when I had the job, and we weren't close. And Pete got them there. And the one thing that you realize is that it's not like a regular season where you can play next week. It's a season within a week, and losing in the last game like that can be just devastating. And we, you know, we felt the opposite of that when we beat Japan in Japan and move on. To go to Latvia. And so I know how hard that can be. I know how difficult that can be. And there's a lot of really good guys in that room. And it's too bad. And it was good to see Pete have success.
So as you look back on your 7 years, I mean, you clearly loved it. That's something I think we've alluded to in the past, certainly when I've spoke to you in previous interviews. But how much do you miss it, Doug? I mean, you've got a great job where you are now, but do you look back every now and again and go, do you know, just every now and again, I wish I was back there?
You know what, I think it was time for me. I think it's one of those things where you have to make a decision. Are you going to live in the country where you're from, or are you going to become British and a European? And for me, I'd accomplished a lot in Britain. I was very fortunate to have some really good players who made me look good, and I was really fortunate to work with some really good people who made me look good as well. But for me, when the situation didn't work out in Sheffield, it was eye-opening to me in the fact that, you know what, I could either stay in the track of coaching in Europe or I could return to the United States and be closer to home and be with my family. And my mother was sick at the time, and unfortunately she's since passed. And so, you know, having kind of gone through losing two parents in less than a year and a half, being in the United States was 100% the right decision for me. And that's why, for me, yes, of course, I miss coaching against Corey Nielsen in a big game, or I miss the playoff final weekend and, you know, seeing all those people. But at the end of the day, I think hockey for me in Britain had run its course. I'd accomplished what I wanted to accomplish, and I've been fortunate enough to keep a lot of really good contacts and a lot of good friends. So hopefully we'll keep in contact, and I'll be able to get back and reconnect with some people before too long.
Now, you are nicely settled in your role as Director of Player Development and Recruitment with the USHL. and we'll talk about a little bit more about that in just a second, but do you see yourself coming back as a head coach either in the UK or anywhere else for that matter in the future?
You never say never. I mean, the job that I have right now is great. I'm working this week at the NHL draft. There's a lot of things that we're doing that are very exciting. I think the fact that the league that I'm in now is exploding in terms of where it is on the marketplace, and it's only getting bigger and better, and being in the role that I'm in is pretty exciting. But I do miss coaching. There's no question about it. It's something that I think about. Whether or not that would be North America or Europe is something that would remain to be seen. But I think it's a situation for me where I'm in a job that I like a lot right now, and it would have to be a really good opportunity for me to consider leaving it, because right now I'm able to meet people from all over the United States, Canada. I was just in Austria working as well, and so for me now it's a matter of enjoying the job that I'm in, and if coaching comes up again, I'll jump at the chance if it's the right situation, but if not, I'll continue to do what I'm doing.
Now tell us about the role you have at the moment, and how was it sold to you? It was a brand new role, I believe, so it was something that the USHL were obviously keen to introduce. So tell us exactly what it is you do.
So the United States Hockey League is the only Tier 1 junior league in the United States. So our primary competition is the CHL in Canada, which is going to be the OHL, the Quebec League, and the Western Hockey League. So for our job is to get players, the best players in the United States, Canada, and throughout the world to come to our league. We're the third highest producer of NHL draft picks of any league in the world. So for us, it's a situation where we're not just trying to get good players, we're trying to get the best young players in the world to play in our league, to go on to have success, like a guy like Johnny Gaudreau, a guy like Jack Eichel, who's probably going to go second overall in the NHL draft. To be able to bring in those elite-level players that are going to have success in our league. Hopefully they'll move on and play Division I college hockey in the United States before embarking on their pro career. And so for my job, it's really identifying the best players throughout the world, throughout the United States, and bringing them and encouraging them to come to our league and educating them as to what those options are. And it's fun, it's exciting. You know, it's interesting. You know, we're putting together a combine of 2000 and 2001 birth years for those players to be evaluated and scouted and obviously coached. And working with young players like that is a ton of fun for me. Working with the families to help them and guide them as to what they're doing is a unique challenge. And not only that, but the other thing is I get to travel a lot. I get to sit with a lot of different hockey people. And we can talk about everything from player development to power plays to, you know, what it's like to coach hockey in California. So it's a fun job. It's a unique job. And that's one of the reasons why I enjoy it so much.
Yeah, sounds like you're certainly enjoying it. So how much excitement does it give you knowing that you could play a part in the early stages of a future NHL star?
Well, hopefully I don't screw them up along the way. but I think that, you know, for me, it's a situation where it hopefully will be incredibly gratifying if I'm able to have that influence and to be able to help players move along. But I think it's not just the players who are NHL players. It's helping people achieve their goals. And if the kid's goal is to play at Harvard, to help him try to get there. If the kid's goal is to play at the University of Michigan, to try to help him get there. The kid's goal is to try to play in the NHL and be a first-round NHL draft pick, doing whatever I can to help push that forward. And so I think it's the part that's most gratifying is not just the guys who are going to wind up being in the NHL, it's the guys who are trying to achieve goals and helping them to do that.
Okay, finally, to finish off then, let's go back to the Elite League. A new season will be upon us in a couple of months' time. We've talked about the openness of the league, how tight it is as well. How do you see this season panning out, and who do you think is going to win the title this year?
Hard to say. One thing I would say is I would never count out Corey Nielsen. His hockey acumen and knowledge is absolutely fantastic, and I didn't fully appreciate it until I had the opportunity to coach them. So I have every bit of success. I have every bit of confidence in him. Obviously, Steve Thornton's in year two being back into the business. I think that Belfast will be better than ever. I think that they wound up with a situation last year where they had a ton of injuries and also Steve came back into a job where it was not only coaching, but it was also a GM role. And so I think that a year or two for him will be good. Paul Thompson has his work cut out for him. Any way you cut it, Paul Thompson has probably forgot more about British hockey than I've ever known. And he is he's going into a situation that I don't even think he fully appreciates how difficult that might be, but I might be wrong. Paul Thompson was a mentor to me, and I think that he's a guy who can do a very good job. But when you replace a guy who's won the league title and the playoff title and a coach who was fired in second place, and you look at Finnerty's, the success that he's had, and then Simon, Sheffield's a tough place to have success. But I think that he's a guy that can do it. And then your dark horse really is Cardiff. Is how does Cardiff come together? I think that one thing that I did see that Finnerty signed Rick Jackman and Brayhead. I think he's obviously a hockey player that can make a big influence in that division. So for me, it'll be wide open again in terms of those teams really fighting for it. And you know, day in and day out, it's going to be it'll be fun to watch.
But you're not going to put your neck on the line and pick a winner, no?
I used to have a dry erase board full of all the players, and I have a pretty good idea, but I don't have that anymore. if you want to know who the best players who are 2000s in California or Chicago, I could probably help you out with that a lot more. But you know what? There's a lot of really good people in Britain, and I look forward to hopefully getting back and getting to the playoff weekend and watching some really good hockey and not having to worry about you know, all the stress that goes along with it and just be able to watch the hockey like all the fans do.
And that was former Edinburgh Belfast and Sheffield coach Doug Christensen, currently loving life back home as the Director of Player Development and Recruitment in the USHL. As always, I'm keen to hear your thoughts on what you've heard from this interview, so feel free to get involved on the Slapshot Scotland Facebook page or follow me on Twitter at Slapshot Scott. You can subscribe and download this podcast from iTunes, and don't forget there's the website, www.slapshotscotland.wordpress.com as well. That's all from me. Thanks for downloading and listening, and thanks again to Doug Christensen for taking the time to talking to us. I'm Craig Anderson. I'll be back with another show very soon. Bye for now.